study Romans 1. So please turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament. We're going to read verses 8 through 15. Romans 1, verses 8 through 15. Here's the word of God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Let's pray. Father, we want to see powerful your word, your gospel is among our gathering. So please show us your power, your mighty work among us. We want to live for your majesty, knowing that this life is a temporary place. We are waiting for our kingdom that is unshakable, unconquerable, but will be everlasting. So please let us remember that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Let us taste and digest your word. Please be with us, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. The gospel of Christ is about, very simply, the Son of God who became a man and died for us and was resurrected from the dead. So the gospel is about the God-man, Jesus Christ. And Paul, it is very obvious that he is enthusiastic about delivering this gospel to others. He is eager to do that. Paul himself says that he's set apart for this gospel. He's the doulos or servant of the gospel, serving Christ, serving him in his preaching of the gospel. So that gospel is the message about Christ, whom he loves and follows. He wants to defend Christ before others. He wants to praise Jesus Christ before others. He wants to magnify how beautiful he is before other nations. From our text, we can observe more about the nature of the gospel ministry. The preaching of the gospel is not merely about expounding the substance of the gospel. Actually, the ministry of the gospel is much more than that. So first of all, I want to say that God is in charge of the ministry of the gospel. Verse 9, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. What Paul is saying is that God has been watching over his ministry. Paul's work has been done in the eyes of God. So even verse 10, always in my prayers, asking that somehow, listen carefully, by God's will, I may now and last succeed in coming to you. Verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. So, prevented under God's sovereignty. So it is obvious that Paul's work has been controlled and guided by God, and ultimately it is God who carries out the ministry of the gospel. It is God's ministry, it is his ministry, and it is he who decides all the directions, all the ways, all the methods for his own ministry. Another thing we can notice from the text is that gospel is a personal ministry. Let me read again verse 9. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you. Here Paul states that he serves God through his gospel ministry. Here, the original word for serve is better translated as worship. So what Paul is saying in this verse is that he worships God with all his spirit, with his heart, as he preaches the gospel to others. So here we have to realize that fundamentally, preaching ministry is an act of worshiping God. When Paul says he's eager to preach the gospel, his underlying thought is that he's eager to worship God as he serves God by preaching the gospel. He states that the reason he expounds the gospel to us is because he is a man who bows down before God. So his first and foremost motivation and purpose of his pastoral or the ministry of the gospel is his worshiping of God. So it is a personal ministry to him, first of all. It is very important to Paul himself, because he loves God so much, because he knows that how much God loves him, he wants to serve his own God, his Savior Jesus Christ, through magnifying the name of Jesus before others. Having said that, let me put more that this ministry of the gospel is personal, the same word, but let me clarify what that means. In our text, we find his pastoral affection toward God's people. We find his toils, his efforts for them. So if we pay attention to Paul's pastoral heart here, one thing we cannot miss noticing from our text is that Paul's ministry was not a formal, professional work. So it was a very important ministry for himself, but at the same time, it was a personal ministry, not a just professional, formal work. So it's not like he's saying, I'm a preacher only when I'm preaching, only when I'm teaching or counseling in public. Rather, he's saying, I am serving you, regardless of like whether I am with you or whether I'm not with you, face to face. It's not like it's okay for me to forget about you and your life when I'm not with you in public. Rather, I think about you all the time. I want to be with you. I want to be personal to you. My preaching ministry, this ministry of the gospel, is not a just professional work. Rather, it is my personal work for my God and for you as well. Let me read again our text, verses 8 through 10. Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve or whom I worship with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now and last succeed in coming to you. Paul mentions here that God's people are a profound reason why he's so thankful to God? How would you feel if someone said to you, saying, I'm so thankful to God because of you? Someone said to you, what if someone said to you, I'm extremely thankful. I'm so happy. I'm rejoicing because of you. Definitely you'll feel a very special, caring heart from the person. Paul says here that he's so thankful to God because of them, because of other believers, because their faith is proclaimed in all the world. Paul didn't say that he's so thankful to God because of what he gained from them. He didn't say, I thank you so much for your compliment on my ministry. I'm so thankful because you think of me highly. You think of me as a great preacher or great pastor. I'm so thankful because you have given me a great present for me. I'm so thankful because through you I became a famous pastor even. Well, that's not what Paul is saying in our text. He says, he's so thankful because their faith is known to many other people. In other words, he's so thankful because of what God has done among them through his preaching or through his work. He's so thankful that the believers in Rome have matured in their walk with God. Because you are so godly, I'm so thankful. That's what he's saying. Because you are following Jesus Christ, it makes me so happy. Rejoice. You are a man of God, a woman of God. I can tell. And I'm so thankful to my God that he has been working in your heart so far. It's not because I've become famous, but because you have become so famous because of your godly walk, because of your sacrificial love for our God. Actually, Paul echoes again in the last chapter of this epistle, Romans, the same thing, 16:19. Paul says, your obedience is known to all, so I rejoice over you. That's what Paul says at the last chapter. So Paul's ministry, or the ministry of the gospel, is God's ministry, and it is a personal ministry. And now I want to say it is a spiritual ministry as well, or you can say it is a praying ministry. Paul again says that, or teaches us, how important prayer is in the ministry of the gospel. Prayer is an indispensable ministry in God's ministry. So without prayer, we cannot expect that there will be some genuine, a real God-centered fruit being born among our gathering. Prayer always is the first and foremost thing that has to be exercised in all kinds of or shapes or forms of church ministry. It is true, prayer is a hidden ministry, but that doesn't mean that its fruit will be hidden. Prayer is a hidden ministry, but it is an effective ministry. There must be, will be, God's fruit through our prayer. Verse 9, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now and last succeed in coming to you. I don't stop praying for you. I think about you all the time. It is because I know God works through the means of prayer. I want to see you. I want to be with you. I want to be face to face with you, that I can be mutually encouraged by you and you be encouraged by me. His affection is obviously upon God's people. He's zealous about serving them, and he has a genuine love for them, and he expresses it through his hidden ministry of prayer. Let me quote quickly 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, "What is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? But you are our glory and joy." Did you hear that? Paul says, "You are my boasting, the reason why I can boast. You are my glory and joy." Well, let's further ask this question. What does Paul want to do when he can meet with them? What plans does he have in order to be encouraged by one another when he can see them? The answer can be found verses 11, 12, and 15. Verse 11, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." Verse 12, "That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." Verse 15, "I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." So Paul says, "I want to see you that I can give some spiritual gift. And through that spiritual gift, you will be strengthened, encouraged." And I want to add more. "And that spiritual gift will be given through my, or in the midst of my preaching." Here our attention is called to Paul's imparting or giving spiritual gift to other believers. But let's remember that Paul was an apostle, right? So, various spiritual gifts, including miraculous gifts, were in consideration in Paul's mind at that time. Let me quote John Murray. He said, "We are not to take for granted that miraculous gifts could not be in view. Miraculous gifts were given for the confirmation and edification for the apostolic churches." Having said that, let's remember that this aspect does not apply to us at all. We do not live in the apostolic era. Now, more importantly, the key aspect of the spiritual gift is not about how supernatural, how miraculous gift Paul could give them or impart to them. Rather, the focus was on God's grace that was to be distributed in the midst of his preaching. Did you hear that? Paul is eager to preach the gospel to them, and he knows that when the word of God is unleashed, the Holy Spirit will work with the word of God, and according to his own sovereignty, he will distribute God's grace according to his own decision. So obviously, the gospel is in the center of the Christian gathering. Preaching of the gospel is what draws or defines the Christian fellowship. The Holy Spirit works mightily when the gospel, or when the word of God, is viewed highly, cherished, and preached faithfully. So, the ministry of the gospel is God's ministry, and it is personal ministry, and it is praying or spiritual ministry. And also now we can say that it is a ministry that builds others up by preaching. Through preaching, we want to see God's people being built up, established, strengthened. Now I want to say one more. The ministry of the gospel is a burdened ministry. I use that word in a positive way, or I should say it is a necessary or mandatory ministry. Let me read verse 14 and verse 15 together. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Paul here says that this great news was entrusted to him so that it might be shared with others. Verse 14 again, I am under obligation both to Greeks, even though I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'm going to tweak a little bit. The better translation, I believe, is this. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I'm a debtor to you. I'm a debtor to you. That's why I have to preach the gospel to you. So Paul is saying here that he owes something to them, and he has not paid off yet. What does that mean? When did he borrow something from them and has not paid back to them? Let me give you a simple illustration. Let's think about when you were really young. Sometimes your uncle or your aunt or your parent, you know, gave you some chocolate or candies, saying, share them with your siblings. Right? Don't eat them by yourself. Eat them with your siblings. Then what did you do? You remember that, right? You put them in your pocket and you didn't share them with your siblings. It was only me. You don't look like you did it. I did many times. Then very soon, one of your siblings, the tattletaler, suddenly figured it out and told your parent or parents. Then you were disciplined by that. It was my sister many times. I have only one sister. She always figured it out. So I was disciplined a lot by especially by my mom. Probably you got it now. Why I just use this illustration. Paul is saying that I'm a debtor to you, not because I borrowed something from you, but because something has been given to me that is supposed to be shared with you. The gospel has been entrusted to me or granted to me so that it must be shared with you. In that sense, Paul's saying, I am a debtor to you. The gospel was made known to me, not only for me, but also for you. God taught me this gospel so that this should be delivered, shared with you. That's what Paul is saying. 1 Corinthians 9:16, if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. What about us? We have to ask ourselves, have we realized that we are debtors of the gospel, like Paul, to others who haven't heard about it, or who haven't realized how beautiful this gospel is? Have you known that? You are a debtor of the gospel. The gospel has not been made to you so that it was only for you and your salvation, or your own blessing. God never made it, designed it that way. If you know, if you have received Christ, you must have the burdened heart, the firing heart, that you must share the gospel with others. Do you do that? Do you share this gospel with others? Let us ask ourselves more than, are we then encouraged by one another? Are we trying to get together, so that we will be mutually encouraged? The reason I'm saying this way is because Paul himself said, I want to be encouraged by you. I know he was kind of Superman. Paul was a Superman, but he himself needed some comfort, encouragement from other believers. And he also wanted to encourage others under the name of Christ, in the power of the gospel. So we have to be united to one another under the gospel, knowing that this gospel must be shared with others. Do you long, by the way? Do you long to see one another? During the week, do you pray for your fellow Christians? Do you even try to get together with one another so that you will be encouraged by them and they will be encouraged by you? So the gospel ministry will be more effective and more powerful. Our Christian life must be gospel oriented, and our Christian gathering must be a gospel centered or oriented as well. So let's remember that the ministry of the gospel is God's ministry, and it must be personal, and it must be spiritual. It must be done with prayer, but at the same time, it must be done with the burning heart as we get together. Together. Remember, together. Let's pray. Father, please restore the joy of salvation every day. Let your word be refreshing, tasteful, delicious, sweet to our mouth every morning. Let us make a sacrifice every morning, and let us wait upon it and see the fruit of the sacrifice at night. You are our God. Let us remember who we are in Christ. Let us have the burning heart, the zeal for the gospel ministry. Please, let us love one another. Let us help one another, and let us serve one another in the name of Christ, in the power of the gospel. We pray for the sake of Christ. Amen.